So we're planning, Diana and I, this big Thanksgiving Price family get-together that we're holding at my brother's church in Saginaw so that the northern folks could make it a day trip. And we have people coming from all over the land, you know, and we're in this phase of trying to figure out who's coming and when. So there's a lot of asking going on, and I'll let you know, she does it all. I don't get involved with that. I'm not very good at this. I'll drive. I'll carry heavy things and stuff like that. Like, I'll do that. She's just geared for that. So we've been making phone calls to people in one of the Carolinas. I never remember which one. Family, are you coming to stay at our house? We talked to my son about where he's going. We have, she put out this whole invitation months ago saying, because she said, I ain't cooking everything for this meal. People are going to bring stuff. She didn't say ain't. That's me. She's had to dog people. She would never say that, and it's not the way she does it. I would dog somebody over that over and over again. Hey, what are you going to bring? What are you going to bring? What are you going to bring? Because when you ask somebody about those details and you're planning a big event, it makes it way better if you know ahead of time, right? You know who's going to be there. We could have 20-some, I don't know, and we'll just see. And as we get near the end of our look into the book of 1 John, John reminds his readers that we can ask and receive. Now, Pastor Mike just prayed the perfect intro to this. Just like we're trying to figure out how we're going to house and celebrate with these people for Thanksgiving for our family, God knows that we have needs, and He invites us to be to come before Him. And so we only have two verses this morning, and then we're finishing next week. There's, I think, four or five verses next week, and it's the end of the book. But our text for today, our primary text, there's a lot of scripture. And by the way, I'll apologize now. There's not a whole lot of room to take notes. In my mind, there's a whole lot of things that could be note-taking things, but I apologize. So maybe you want to grab a piece of paper from somebody else or if you brought one. So verses 14 and 15 of 1 John chapter 5, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. Two no's in there. Know what you know is the name of our sermon series, and here's some knowledge in here. This is not a new theme for John. Matter of fact, in a little bit, I'm going to share a couple verses from chapter 3 that we've already covered. Actually, when we were in that section, I said, we're going to talk about this again, and this is the again. So we have this really simple, you might want to call it an equation. That's probably not quite accurate, but this wonderful truth, three-part truth, and we're going to look at that first, and then we're going to dive a little more in. And let me tell you, this didn't go the way I expected it to go as I studied. The Lord does that all the time. That's a comfort, actually, to me, that He does that, and so I know it's not just me spouting off stuff. So number one, if you have an outline, we ask. Unboundaried access, and it's not just permission to ask, it's an invitation to ask. There's a difference, right? If you have a grumpy dad and you would go and ask because you need something, or if that same parent said, whatever, whenever, come and ask, I want you to ask. And it's no surprise that John, who wrote this epistle, this letter, is dovetailing off of what he wrote that Jesus said in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Those are the words of Jesus. So that's, of course, in John's heart, and he reminds us, ask anything. The writer of Hebrews says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Whatever, we come boldly, we come confidently. So the title is Confident Prayer today. So it's one thing to have confidence to ask. It's good to have permission to ask, but we've all probably been in. So my buddy Daryl and I used to ask my mom if we could go and do something crazy. And I'd ask, and she'd say no to me, and then Daryl would go up, and he'd ask, and she'd say yes to him, and then we'd go off and do crazy things. A little bit of acrobatics we had to go through, but number one is we ask. Number two is he hears. And really, in the next one, we need to soak in this simple progression. Let's call it a progression. He hears. So it says here in verse 14, he hears us. John 9, again, Jesus is speaking, so John is writing out of this recollection of his relationship with Christ. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. He hears. Now, hear has a lot of different definitions. So husbands and wives, this is notorious, husbands, right? Our wives are telling us things, and we're hearing sounds, right? And then our wife says, what did I just say? And, you know, there's no way to fake that. We just have to say, I didn't get that. Will you repeat that again? And so that's not the kind of hearing. That is a form of hearing, but the word used and the definition of the word used here is to attend to consider what has been said. So we ask and he hears. He's listening. He's inclined and he wants to hear. And of course, the irony in the Christian faith is that he already knows what we're going to ask. That should actually increase our confidence. But he is still inclining his ear. He wants us to ask. He wants to hear us ask. Peter says this in his first book, chapter 3 and verse 12, the first half of the verse, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers or their asking. Number one is we ask. Number two is he hears. Number three is we have. So this is the part from previously in this series, 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. We've already covered this. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. We have. We ask, he hears, we have. Say that over and over again to yourself. We ask, he hears, we have. Turn to the person next to you and say, we ask, he hears, we have. So we have a dilemma, right? You're asking for things that haven't changed. Chronic things, health-wise perhaps. There can be chronic health issues. There can be chronic money issues. There can be chronic relationship issues, things we pray for. And yet he uses this term have in the present tense. And just as an encouragement, we remember where God stands in relationship to us and the creation and this time, which we just changed our clocks. In 2 Peter, we are reminded, chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So in the moment we ask, in God's time, if we can say that, and it's really not accurate to call it that, he's already giving. Matter of fact, we know before he created everything, he already planned to answer your prayers. It's one of the reasons why he's inclining his ear. He's just waiting for the time when that understanding comes and you cry out to him and you ask for those things that you need and desire. And in that sense, we have the confidence that it's already a given, though we might not see it yet. That's the frustration. And I'm sorry to say I can't eliminate that frustration for you today. I share that frustration in praying for things that have not come to pass, from deep things like family who don't know Jesus to physical things that continue to linger. But still, we're called to confidence in remembering that we ask, he hears, and we have. So, kind of hidden, it's not really hidden, but unspoken, all of what we've talked about in these two verses, in every scripture that talks about receiving, God's will is this concept of how we ask. And so that's what number four is. That's where we're spending most of our time today, assured asking. It doesn't mean we can ask anything anytime and that we would have the confidence that we have it. There's something else going on here, and we know what it is. It is according to His will. Repeated over and over again, we ask according to His will. We ask according to His will. We ask according to His will. Paul says this in Romans 8:27, and He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So not only are we asking, but the Holy Spirit is asking on our behalf before the Father, and it is according to the will of God. So that can start a whole bunch of thoughts swirling. The will of God. What is the will of God for my life? Where should I work? Should I go to college? Should I go to trade school? Who should I marry? You know, all those kind of decisions. What is the will of the Lord for me in this choice I need to make? I need to know what choice to make. There are a lot of things, even our health issues that we pray about with fervency, and don't quit. Pray with fervency. You mean it, even though He hears, and we have in us in that sense of God having it already for us. But what I want to talk about will help in those areas rather than highlight those areas where we're seeking a specific will. So we're going to return to, first of all, where we have been in this study. So the title is Know What You Know, and I'm going to review some things. They're not going to be on, you just have A, it says what we can know, because we've been talking about that. These are some of the things we've already talked about that we can know. And if it's something knowable that God wants us to know, it's His will for us to know it. Can we agree on that? Okay. Right from the beginning, we can know that we have fellowship with Jesus and one another. We can know that. If we desire fellowship, we know we can have it. He says we can. That is part of the will of God, what we can know about Him. We are in Him by following Him, imitating Him, and loving others. We are in the last hour. We know that. The spirit of the Antichrist is here. We had a whole message on that early on in the series. We know it's the last hour. All this contributes to us being able to know the will of God and so ask according to His will. We can know the truth. The Bible tells us the truth. And in every issue we face, and so we see all these political ads, and each one has issues attached to it, and each are projected as being the absolute truth in the right way. Well, we know where to find truth. It's right here in God's Word, and according to His will. We know we will be like Jesus in eternity. So part of it is that takes the pressure off of trying to think like we have to be exactly like Him right now, because we're limited. We know that Jesus takes away our sin. So even when we do things wrong, we come to Him and can be cleansed. We know that we have already passed from death to life when we come to know Jesus. Right now, as you sit here, with whatever things you're asking for and other things you're praying for, you are living in life right now, though not complete, and one day it will be complete. We know what love is, demonstrated by Jesus, proclaimed all throughout scriptures. We know that He lives in us. We know that by the witness of the Spirit we talked about a couple of weeks ago. We know we have eternal life. We know these things. Those are just a few of the things. When we think about asking, He hears and we ask according to the things we already know. So we've been talking about those kinds of things in this study. B, if you have your handout, is the general will of God expressed in scriptures. I'm saying over all of us. It's interesting when you go searching for these kinds of things, it's not very often that it actually says this is God's will. But the Bible is showing us God's will all along. So what I decided to do was to find the ones that actually says what God's will is, and hopefully that helps us when we start or continue to seek God's will for us in the wants and needs of life. The first is from John 6:40, again, Jesus, the same author, John, writing down Jesus' words. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Salvation for everyone who believes in Christ. And you might already be asking, well, but I have cancer. I'm asking for healing. What does this have to do with it? Because how you pursue your healing must be in accord with God's view of all of us together, and this is one part of his will for this world and those people in this world. That is his will. The second scripture I chose was 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 5. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. Now, that's a weird, right? That's a little weird scripture for this. But I can't separate how it was written and how it was spoken as Paul related these words to us. God's will is that we would be holy, sanctified, that is, set apart. So all our asking will be to him, not getting tired of waiting for the answer we want and seeking somewhere else. Do you see what I'm saying? He might lead you to other paths, but we stay with him. He wants us to be holy and sanctified, set apart, only him, only for him. And so the rest of this concept of controlling your own body, he mentions certain things like avoid sexual immorality. We certainly have application in the wild, chaotic way that people live their lives, but I would have you rather concentrate on control your own body. So, for instance, if I'm praying for health for a digestive issue, but I'm eating greasy potato chips and things that are bad for me, I'm not controlling my body, and I'm not going to get maybe what I want in a response from God immediately, because we do have a responsibility in our asking. That's part of asking in the will of God. I submit myself to him in that because I am set apart, the fullness and the Spirit upon me for him, and so I submit all of the parts of the things I'm asking for to him in controlling my own body. And even Paul calls it again, it's holy and honorable. It's not passionate lust. Our passion should be for Jesus. The third is, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's the tough one, depending on what you're asking for and the part of it you're waiting for, because there's a part you have in approaching him, because we ask, he hears, and we have. Give thanks in all circumstances. I think this is where our first song intersected this morning with the saying, every day I will lift up my hands in praise. And sometimes it's hard to lift up your hands. I would encourage you, I don't look around. At other churches, I stayed in the back and came up when it was time to preach, but I don't do that here, so I don't know what's going on here. But I encourage you, when you're feeling the drag of the weight for the things you ask, and there's a call for that, it's not put on, but sometimes in the act of doing something like that, the Spirit comes in and breaks this hold, this I don't even know. I don't have the word for it. That pressure, that let's call it a depression. Let's call it that feeling like, well, I'll do that when I feel better about it. And a matter of fact, we have something on our schedule coming up that I invite you to join us in on Sunday, the 24th of this month. We're going to have a thanks service. And I encourage you to look for thanks in your troubles for that service. So the chairs are going to be facing one another this way and this way. I'll give you a warning. Some people like to, they come in here and the chairs are different. I don't want to freak anybody out. So we're going to kind of do that in a half circle. So we're facing, we can see each other. And we're going to go through this. You could call it an exercise because part of it is just like if you want to build strength in your body, you have to lift weights and you have to put the stress on your body. Sometimes giving thanks when you're not in a set of circumstances that looks thankful, to be able to declare thanks. That is God's will for us. In whatever else you're asking, it is His will for us to give thanks. So we're going to do that on the 24th. We'll remind you about that too. You don't have to, by the way. We'd love you to come even if you don't want to say anything. Some people just don't like that. And they don't like looking at one another too. One time in Gaylord we had, I don't know how long we did that. I was doing a series of some kind and people said, I hate looking across and having a look at somebody else. I think it's because they knew somebody else was looking at them and they couldn't fall asleep. Because I'm the only one that sees when you fall asleep. Nobody else knows, but when you're facing one another. Specifically said, this is God's will. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, this is the fourth thing I found where he said, this is God's will. I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, comma, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. His will is through those things we do. Pray for the people who are difficult to pray for. That's one way you could paraphrase that. People come to His saving knowledge, which is already His will. In His will over all things, He came to save and to seek those who are lost. Praying for people. A Tuesday is going to be a difficult day, or Wednesday or Thursday or whatever day results are announced for our election. I don't know if you saw the thing I ripped off from somebody else and posted about what John Wesley said about the election. And this was in England before they had elections like we have elections. It was a totally different thing. And not have ill will toward people who choose differently than you. I'm paraphrasing that. He wants us to pray for people. While you're asking and waiting for what you have, according to the scriptures, in God's economy and in His timing, to come and to be apparent to you, He wants you to be praying for other people. There's something about that two-lane highway where I can say, woe is me and I need your help, but my friend needs your help too, and my wife does, or this family does, or this guy who's calling me names because I'm a follower of Christ. That leads to people coming to know who Christ is, which is His highest will. And the last one I've chosen, it's all the ones I could find in the NIV. In the, I don't know how long I was poring over those and trying to find them. There may be more, and in other versions there may be more. But these were the ones I found that specifically said, this is God's will, and this is 1 Peter 2:15. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Now, silencing the ignorant talk of foolish men is a nice perk to doing good, but the will of God is that we do good. Well, and that's really important, because when we start asking for things we need in our life, and let's take the chronic things. Let's use cancer. I mean, that's the big one, right? When we find out somebody has cancer, we know there are a bunch of possibilities, and some of them are terrible and life-ending, and even treatments are terrible and taxing. We pray for immediate healings, and we don't sometimes feel like doing anything good. Just stay in that place and ask and mull along. And I'm not calling you to dismiss the seriousness of any of the things we ever ask for. I would never say that you can't be down when you hear news like that, and when it continues, and when you've prayed for someone for a long time and the healing God provided was not the elimination of the disease here. It was full healing in heaven. That's hard. And he embraces the full human experience for us to experience. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying ignore it. I'm not saying pie in the sky, shrug it off, God's got me, I already have the answer, and go, there's the deep drag, there's the dragging the feet, that's all part of the human experience. That's not what I'm talking about here, but I'm talking about making sure that in our asking, we want what God has already declared his will to be. So those are five things that may or may not be helpful to you. And we'll finally see we get to our needs. This is where I thought we would have a little more time and information. So we're asking for healing. We're asking for provision. We're asking for wisdom. We're asking for direction. We're asking for things to change. Maybe sometimes we're actually asking for things to stay the same and not change. And I heard this as I was scrolling through some reels on Facebook on the plasma donation table earlier this week. And it was Psalm 37:4 and a few comments by Dr. Adrian Rogers. I don't know if you know who he was. He's been gone quite a long time now. He was with the Southern Baptist Church. I love to hear him speak, his little drawl in his voice, but the wisdom with which I didn't like the suit he wore because, you know, I'm not much of a suit guy, but he really communicated with me, and he used this verse, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, let's just look at the beginning scripture. Brenda, you don't have to put this up. I'm just going to read it. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. And then back to Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So Adrian Rogers was walking around the pulpit in his three-piece suit and his little drawl, and he said, but Pastor, somebody, I'm not going to try to imitate him, because that'd be terrible. I prayed for $1 million, and I didn't get it. He said, well, you're delighting in $1 million. You're not delighting in the Lord. And he used another example. I don't remember that example, but that was so not stunning, but just awesome, because I knew where what verses we were in and where we were at. And I actually prayed. We had a woman when I worked at Tube Fab in the tubing industry for a few years. One of the secretaries got cancer, and they had to remove one lung. And that was my prayer for her. As she delights in you, heal her. And his healing was eventually that surgery that got the cancer out of her body. And she's still living as long as I know. I haven't had any contact with those people. When we ask for God to heal, when we ask for God for provision, you got the bill in the mail and you got the zero in the bank. When your kids are having troubles going through things in their life and you want them to find this path and you want chaos to leave and you want peace to come in, we often ask in such a way that we're not delighting in the Lord, which is the same thing as asking according to his will. We want what he wants. We're actually trying to find our delight in the answer. And we'll be disappointed. We'll be disappointed if that's who we or what we place our delight in. I believe this psalm, this verse in Psalms, is a promise. I've experienced this myself, change the way I look at an issue by saying, I delight in you and I need you to move in this area, and have him radically change how I thought I was praying until I could come to the conclusion and say, I don't want that anymore. Because I delight in you, and I see that this is not according to your will. Whether it's specific places where it says in the Word, and this is God's will, or his will that is constantly bubbling out of the pages of this book as you continue to make it a part of your life. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So there's a line at the end. We have some scripture to end, but direct you to the end of your handout if you have it. My asks. I don't know if you write down those things. I have quite an extensive prayer book where I write down requests, but none of them are for me. They come out of prayer meeting, they come out of phone calls, they come out of conversations. I have volumes of them over the years that I wrote down. But I'm saying if you are in this crazy place where you're asking and you feel like, or it seems like God, it says here, I already have it. I'm not seeing that anywhere. I don't see anything. To actually write down these asks and that you would pray specifically according to the will of God, whatever that is. This is sort of like what Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well in the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the helps to all of us as a church body is when we receive what we already have, as John states it here, that we share that with one another, because I guarantee you, probably everyone in this room has at least one thing they're craving an answer from God about, and you don't feel like you've received it. And we hear how God has, in his timelessness, interrupts us in time, at the right time, with that answer. It helps us all wait in his will together and ask in his will together. So there's not a lot of room on your handout. In order for this to be effective, you'll need to go somewhere and get another sheet of paper or a book or something and write those things down. This is what I'm praying for. May it be according to your will. Lord, may I delight in you, and ask him to help you formulate the delight in him. And so we're going to end today with this passage of scripture from Matthew chapter 7. This is from the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is talking about asking for things and how God responds, not with a counterfeit, not with a fake, but we also know it might not be exactly what we're asking, but it will be according to his will. So it is Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He's waiting. He's waiting as we ask according to his will. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to go to prayer. Team will come up. Get ready to sing the doxology. As always, if the Spirit is speaking to you and moving you in some direction with an ask in your life, whether it's for you or someone else, man, share that with somebody else in this room before you leave, so you have a partnership and someone else praying for that issue as well. Let's pray together. Father, first, I just want to say, above all things, we are so thankful that you have declared your will that all would be saved from a futile life now and eternal punishment in the future and forever by coming here yourself, Jesus. Proclaimed before Mary gave birth to you that your name would be Jesus, and that you would come to save his people from their sins. And through your own teaching and words in the Gospels and all the rest that has been written, not only predicting your coming in the Old Testament, but the change you made in people who said yes to you throughout the New Testament and into today. We thank you, Lord, that will of yours is the strong will that fuels all other things for us. And I pray, Lord, if anyone is wrestling against coming to know you and laying down their lives and following you, that you would eliminate that barrier, that you would give them your will in salvation right now, today. But Lord, as we continue to ask in this temporal life, everything runs out, things decay, there are misunderstandings, there are intentional wrongs done, there's the what happens to our body as we just live and age, and so many things that can go wrong, and so much that is unsure, that you would help us to have confidence in coming before you, asking for your way in all of these things, and not getting sidetracked by our own, though we are invited to ask what we feel and think and see, not being limited by that, but coming to you saying, what we want, Lord, is to delight in you. And then we know what you already planned, what you relish to give us, what you can hardly wait to bestow upon those who call out. We would receive that and not, as we sometimes do, think that's not the best and still seek something else. So, Lord, you know we're a seeking people in need of so many things, and you hear voices right now crying out to you for all sorts of things. As you continue to show us your way in them, help us to do your will. And by our following you, that more and more people would be freed from the futility of life without you, so that they don't have to be eternally separated from you. So bless us now and in this day that we'd be mindful of the goodness of you and review even what you've already answered that we can be so thankful for. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.